So too today, the sharing of everything in common is the primary test of a sound religious community. Notice, no less than in the first century, the needs are different. They were then, they are now. Some are young. Some are old. Some are older. And I understand not all are in the auditorium, but making this retreat. Am I right? The needs of the young are not those of the old. As the young may not know, the old do know. You see, they have been young. The young have not yet been old. Some are strong. One look at a sister, and you can tell. She can lift weights. And her watch her eat, you can tell. She needs it. Others are weak. And the weakness we may know may be from their mother's womb. Some are healthy. Others are sick. I was in the novitiate 2 months when they sent me to the hospital. Part of the genius of a community is to recognize these needs. I've got the word needs underlined and respond accordingly. Why? Because it is just as truly important to recognize that not all things are needs. Some are merely wants. Now, between needs and wants is a large no man's land, which nobody but God fully understands. The point, however, is that just as part of a community's responsibility, especially of superiors, is to recognize these needs, and may I suggest individuals make them known, there is nothing wrong, quite the contrary. It is wrong not to make one's needs known. Agreed? Be they physical, spiritual, psychological, or emotional, or climactic, or dietary, or vocational. However, since we're on the subject of community, it is just as truly important that religious can develop a variety of wants which may be artificial, induced by the Spirit from outside the religious community, which is not that of a religious community. These wants can become imperious unless controlled. This is a larger subject than the couple of minutes I'm going to give it. You know what I'm trying to say, sisters? Our whole economic system is based on the principle of advertising, I never tire quoting of Will Rogers' definition of advertising, which makes people buy what they don't need with money they don't have. And for believers, living as we are in a powerfully psychologized culture, one of whose main purposes, the whole economy of our nation is built on it, to create artificial needs by inducing psychological wants. I've talked to enough husbands. Now, sisters, you know I wouldn't be here giving this retreat unless I wanted to be of great help, such as I can, to religious women, with stress on women. Having lived for 21 years after my father's death, when I was a year old, with my mother, I've come to know a woman's heart. But speaking to an all-feminine audience, women are women. Husbands tell me, Father, my problem is very simple. I just can't keep up with my wife. She reads an ad. They've got a bargain. She buys things which she claims she needs. She starts with a dress. I distinctly remember, because the wife was sitting next to him in the car when he was telling me the story. The dress, say, he said, is lavender. Well, it doesn't stop there. So it has to be a lavender hat. My wife likes to wear gloves. They've got a match. And shoes. And I didn't even realize it, women carry, what do they call them, pocketbooks? They must have some other name. She kept staring at him. I am told by professionals in the sales business that unless they work on the psychology of women, they'd go out of business. All I want to say, sisters, with that unprepared episode is that all of us, men as well as women, can be sold a bill of goods. And that consequently, it is of divine revelation that the needs of a community be adequately, indeed lavishly met, but that the wants of individuals in that community be sifted, and they should be first sifted in our own hearts. That, by the way, is a good description of the purpose of a retreat. To sift in our hearts between the things we need and the things we want. By way of a closing epilogue, may I suggest that we ask our Lord to teach us to see and to grow in the spirit of that first Christian community, the pattern of ours, which we are told by Luke was united heart and soul. United in heart by the bonds of our common love of Christ and his church. That's where the heart is, inside. And that's what it symbolizes, love. But also united in soul, by the bonds of our single conviction, the soul in Scripture stands for mind. That Christ came to sanctify us as a community, and through us as a community, to sanctify all who come within the ambit of our apostolate.
This tape was produced by Consortium Perfecta Caritatis. All rights are reserved.